can disrupt the agenda into an agenda. Can we adopt the agenda? Okay, agreed to. We have adopted the agenda. Can we then go to consideration of the minutes of the meeting of the 18th of April, 2012? Right, can we start, can we begin at the beginning, page one, for correction? Anything you'd like to correct in page one? Page two? Page three for correction? Yes, sir.
Can you replace
three? Okay. Can we then go to page four, Mr. Watson? You have a point on that page.
Chair, if you look at the proposal of the speaker, it was agreed that that whole paragraph should be at the end, and it is indeed at the end, so it's duplicated. The resolution of this item appears in the middle of the item on page four, and where it should be on page five. So it's deleted.
Okay.
It should be deleted on four.
So it should appear at the end. We couldn't have agreed before we started discussing it. Okay, so it's at the end. Agreed? Agreed. At page 5. Any corrections on page 5? Page 6. Anything on page 7? Page 8. Page 9. And 10. Anything on page 10? Page 11. Page 12. Page 13. Page 14. And page 15. Nothing to add on page 16. So, do I take it that since there are no corrections, this is indeed a true reflection of the meeting that took place? With that one correction, yes. Okay, with that correction, the minutes are...
Every item ends with on the proposal of the speaker, it was agreed. I don't know if we were just rubber stamping.
Yes, if it is proposed and agreed, it has to be so recorded. It has to be recorded in agreement. Okay, Honourable JJ is saying there's too much mention of the speaker, so we will say it was agreed without mentioning the speaker.
Every single item is on the proposal of the speaker, it was agreed, so it looks like the Rules Committee is just rubber stamping what the speaker wants.
Well, the Rules Committee is here to say what it wants, but since it agrees on something, it has to be so recorded. Okay, can we move on to the next agenda item, which is matters arising. Agenda item number 4, matters arising. Are there any matters arising that are not going to be, not on the agenda? Honourable Watson and Honourable Chief Whip. Honourable Chief of the Majority Party.
Speaker, I haven't thought through this matter well, because it's a matter that also may need some expertise which I may not have. But I'm just worried about the court actions that are brought against the Speaker by some members of the Parliament, and which are against processes taking place within Parliament, which suggests to me that this Parliament and the Speaker has to run the affairs of Parliament upon the approval of the court, and which, in my view, is a serious violation of the doctrine of separation of powers. So I want to request that, regardless of the outcome of those court actions, maybe we really get an opinion whether this is how Parliament should function, subject to the approval of the court. I thought that the Constitution made provision for invocation of the court at some later stage after Parliament has been allowed to do its work. So as I say, this may need some people who know to guide us, but I'm just worried about that tendency.
Thank you very much. Honourable JJ, you see, it's not only the speakers, people agreeing, but it's also the speaker being taken to court. On this issue, there is a proposal about the way forward. Maybe at some point it should be useful for members to know what the issues are that the person is taking Parliament to court. I'm simply the representative of Parliament here. So can we agree that the next agenda item, this information should be made available and people should understand what the issues are so that we have a better understanding, and then we can strategize around it. JJ, is it on this matter?
But a slightly different issue. It was just, I understand that leave to appeal, I think, was granted, or is there an update on this matter? And then I think linked to it is the issue of costs. And maybe in addition to what the Chief Whip has said, you know, if it's a individual member from a one-person party, if it's no disrespect, Dr. Mulder, he's three members, okay, two members now. Anyway, but
I get to the point when I would change.
A larger party, I mean, you know, what's that party's position? I mean, I do see from the minutes that the IFP wanted to join the application, but you know, is there just free for all? If I wanted to take, I'm part of a very large party. If I wanted to take, well, I suppose I'd get, yeah, I mean. But it's just, you know, can any member bring any case against the speaker?
Okay. Mr. Watson, do you want to come in on this point?
I didn't want to come in on this item as a matter arising, but we're actually now discussing a totally new matter as far as I'm concerned. It's a general topic for discussion that the Chief Whip has raised, and Mr. Jeffrey is now adding on to. I'd like us to get back to this particular item, wherein it says in the resolution that we would get a written report on this whole, and I haven't seen that report.
Yeah.
Is it?
Is there available? The report was made available to the members.
Okay.
Yes, the report was made available. Order, honourable members. But in case people haven't read it, which is not the same thing as not having received it, we can circulate it again. And then, because you want to propose to put it on the agenda for the next meeting, so it's discussed in its entirety. Can we agree? Okay. Thank you very much. Yes, honourable member.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I want to refer to page 6 here, where we have rules and rules again and changes of that rule under 105, looking at Rule 5, 105, 5, and 9. Now, when I read these minutes again, and I'm not suggesting they aren't correct, they are, I accept that, but I realize that they are somewhat confusing. Creates a lot of confusion because on the one hand you've got 105.5, then the reference on page 7 to that very rule where it appears to contradict what was already said in 5 to go forward with an amendment, and then further down, one, about 1 to the third paragraph, we then ask, if the Rules Committee would make a decision at the next meeting, meaning this meeting. And yet I don't really see that as reflected in the agenda per se. So I need some clarification there, because it's calling for a decision to be made now at the next meeting. I know it goes on to a speaker's proposal at the end of that, that the Rules Committee would recommend to the House that Rule 33 be read, but that's not the same rule, you see. So we don't, the last decision, oh sorry, at the bottom of page 7 it says that the Rules Committee would recommend to the House that Rule 1065 read as follows. Again, it doesn't refer to 1055. So I'm asking ourselves, is this not something that must still be dealt with? I'm talking of 1055 on page 6, which is referred to in the second paragraph on page 7, and then in the third paragraph, Mr. Jeffrey, I think, spoke to this one, and then it says, he asked if the Rules Committee would make the decision at the next meeting.
Okay.
I don't see anything about how, what the speaker is saying there.
Okay, what is the speaker saying then?
I can't attempt to speak on behalf of the speaker. But just to clarify here, this deals with two rules. The one set of rules deals with statements by members, where 6 ministerial responses are now going to form part of the rules, and 15 statements by members. The next part deals with party responses to ministerial statements. And the issue here was whether the time allocation to parties should be agreed by the Rules Committee, by the next meeting of the Rules Committee. And the response, as I understand it, was that there is currently a motion in place which takes care of time allocation for party responses to ministerial statements. So I did not get a sense that that motion would now be changed by decision of the Rules Committee, but Mr. Jeffrey may clarify that further.
I think it must have been the meeting that I missed last time of the rules, but as far as I'm aware, was it last week, on behalf of the Speaker, I introduced rule amendments in the House, being in the form of a report from this committee that affect all those amendments, and the report was adopted by the House. And therefore the Rules Committee can no longer deal with the issue. It's now a decision of the House. And effectively that decision put in place in the rules practices that were implemented by way of resolution. And now they have become practices by way of rules. And basically what it happens in 105 is that members' statements have been increased from 14 to 15. And the other thing, responses from ministers from 5 minutes to 6 minutes. And in relation to 106, ministerial statements is no longer going to be 3 minutes each, but it's going to be the principle of proportionality, which means that the ANC gets about 8 minutes to respond, and the largest opposition party 5 minutes, and so on and so on. So I think the matter is effectively taken care of in that sense. Thank you. Which currently is a practice, has been the practice, but now it's a formal decision. That has been taken already. This is reporting on decisions taken. It's not opening the decision that were taken. Okay. Right. Can we then move on? Hello. Marina, you had a point. You had your hand up.
Sorry, I just wanted to. I think I know what Ms. Fubbs means. The original draft that we presented to this committee last time had, at the end where it says, will be determined by the Rules Committee, there was a little bit added on at the commencement of each new parliament. And then that's why Mr. Jeffrey said, because it means each new parliament, does it mean that once we've now adopted the rule, we need to revisit, you know, actually make them the determination for party responses? And then at Mr. Mansoura at that point, who had read the rule, said, but he'd left it out purposely so that so the motion that has been adopted now stands, and we're leaving out the words at the commencement of each parliament, so the rules committee can decide when, whenever it wants to on the time allocated to parties. But it, initially it had those words in the original draft.
Okay. Can we move on? This has been agreed to. It's the practice has been adopted more than once now. Okay. Thank you very much. Anything else still under matters arising before I move on to the report by the subcommittee on the review of the rules? No? Can we then move on to agenda item number 5, a report by the subcommittee on the review of the rules. Who wants to volunteer?
Mr. Mishkas. The subcommittee on the review of the rules met last week to consider a proposal which is now put before you. Contained in a report, the first report, dealing with proposed strategy for comprehensive review of the rules. I propose not to go into details. I think the proposal is fairly straightforward. I just want to highlight a few points. Obviously, the first question is, why do we want to review the rules? What's wrong with the existing rules? And one can point to a number of issues. The background being, first and foremost, that in 1996, following the adoption of the current constitution, when the current rule book was adopted, that rule book was largely a continuation of a tradition that existed before with some tweaking. There has been a question whether we have made enough time to reflect, having had the opportunity and the benefit of running a parliament for 18 years, whether the rules as they stand mirror the kind of parliament with all its trappings, etc. But fundamentally, its culture, its orientation, that we would ideally want it to be. And therefore, hence this talk that's been going on for years that we need to review the rules. There have been other issues that other people have raised relating to specific concerns. The opposition, I know the DA would, for example, want to return interpellations into the House. There are other ideas coming from the oversight model that Parliament adopted, and the list goes on. Now, we noticed that in the process of reviewing the rules, you would need to be informed by and actually integrate some of the policy reforms or the transformation processes that are taking place in Parliament. I mentioned the oversight model, the Money Matters Amendment Act, bills, for example, has implications for the way in which committees process money bills and so on and so on. So those things will also have to inform the kind of end product of the rule. Now, we note that some of those policy processes are not yet finalized. Some have, and it should be easy for us to translate them into the new rule book, but there's a number of them which are actually still before this committee that still need engagement. One of them actually is on your agenda today, and that deals with Chapter 9 institutions, review of Chapter 9 institutions, which actually will have implications not only for the rules but even for possible amendment of the constitution depending on which recommendations eventually get accepted. So there are all these policy review processes that are happening that are exciting, that would have to find expression at some point. We think that we can only work with what has been concluded. There have been discussions in the Chief Whip's Forum around issues of decorum, questions, and other practices in the House itself. Those inputs would need to go into this exercise. We think that the starting point really is going to have to be a preparatory stage where we make sure that we ourselves capacitate ourselves as members of the review group, have a better understanding of the rules, have a good sense of practices in other parliaments, etc., to inform our work. There's proposals relating to possible external support that we might require, and that might be a subject of debate here, but there is a suggestion that perhaps to assist the committee, we may need to engage outside assistance as well. There is proposed time frame. I'm sure JJ will immediately say that it's unrealistic, that by some time next year, we should be in a position to say now we're ready to produce some kind of a full draft of a new rule book, which obviously would trigger a lot of engagement and discussion and response. I'm not sure whether we can confidently say that we should be able to finalize the rule book, the new rule book, by the end of next year. Marina, I think, has put a deadline there somewhat next year. But that is in brief the context and the background to the exercise. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Advocate Masuta. That was Advocate Masuta speaking on behalf of the subcommittee that's dealing with the review of the rules of the National Assembly. There are a number of points that have been raised. We started the beginning, and the end would be, and product should be finalized next year. But between now and then, there are a number of stages that we need to take and steps that we need to take. One of them would be something like the workshop to capacitate members, agree on something. The other is a proposal that there should be some consultant who come and help us with the processes. So there are a number of steps. At the end, we'll have to itemize them so that we know what we're agreeing to. But for now, this is a broad picture that Advocate Masuta has painted. Any comments? Yes, sir. Ambrosini, Mr. Ambrosini, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have a concern which I've also expressed within the working of the SAM committee. We are going about producing legislation for this parliament, which is rules and legislation, in a way which is completely different from how legislation has been produced in any other field. Usually, we determine policies first, and once there is a policy framework on what we want to achieve, once it's up to draft. This process, as it is in the report, is driven by the hiring of a specialist consultant who will provide guidance in terms of the report to the process, assisted by a dedicated team from the ANA table. There are essentially two types of jobs to be done. One is to bring the rules in compliance with the Constitution, and that is a technical job. Any qualified lawyer can do that. The second is to look into a number of policy proposals. We from the FP have made extensive policy proposals and see whether they are desirable or not desirable. That's a policy exercise. And we need to find a venue where we start from the policies. The actual drafting of the rules is not complicated. There is great emphasis on the fact that we need to take cognizance of history, precedents, conventions, etc. And I express a concern in respect of that, because that, yes, it's all relevant in point of applying the rules. It is not that relevant in point of rewriting the rules, because we make it the way we want it. And the range of proposals that we have put forward over and above the return of the interpolation,
point of order. There's a point of order. Honorable Chief.
No, I just want to know whether the IP is not represented in the subcommittee, and whether or not they didn't have an opportunity to make those submissions in that committee, and whether or not this report doesn't come from the committee in which they are represented.
Mr. Chairman, may I address on the point of order?
Yes, please.
Yes, we are represented, as I said at the beginning of my intervention, I made the same submission before this committee. The submission was to be carried to this committee. There are different views. I'm expressing my views. It's the report of a subcommittee. It is for you to accept it or amend it, and you must do so with the benefit of seeing any views. And I will now conclude my view, so then you can deliberate with the information before you, if I may, Mr. Chairman. May I conclude? I've got two more sentences.
Please make it short sentences, not two statements, but short sentences.
Thank you, sir. So my plea is that we have a quick policy discussion which could take place within the parameters of the subcommittee to define the scope of this amendment. It's labeled as a comprehensive, but if one knocks down a number of proposals, then the scope becomes smaller. And then the actual drafting, it's a simple exercise that the technical subcommittee, few people can do in a matter of a couple of days.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ambrosini. The rule of thumb is that it's a report of a subcommittee. And we don't want to open discussion that were there in the subcommittee. It can't be fair on this meeting to open discussion that have been closed by the subcommittee. But Mrs. Gillian, you have the floor.
Chairperson, I actually just wanted to say the input by the Honourable Ambrosini is the same as we've had in the subcommittee. And actually, his concerns have been addressed within the report which is tabled before the Rules Committee today, specifically his referral to policy issues. And we found agreement on page 3 and 4 on how to deal with such matters. So I think it is adequately catered for within this Rules Subcommittee report.
Thank you very much. That's been catered for. Any other comments? Mr. Watson.
The question of the resources, whether we had any conclusion on it, and how we would go about the resources.
The question of the
resources
for this
exercise.
Yeah.
Whether, I don't know if Mr. can give us some more information about that. It's concluding on that item. And it's also in the minutes of the previous Rules Committee.
Okay, shall we flag that issue? We'll come back to it later when Advocate Masuta responds to some of the comments. But sadly, if it's a decision of this meeting, then we have to find the resources. So resources would have to be found. But Dr. Mulder.
Chairperson, just the first point. Obviously, the subcommittee reports to the Rules Committee. And if the Rules Committee is not entitled to discuss what was discussed in the subcommittee, then there's something wrong. I don't think that's the correct procedure. But the point I would like to make is the recommendation on page 3 makes provision for inputs by parties until the end of August. But I think the subcommittee should also take into consideration that 2 years ago, at great expense, there was a fact-finding mission on the Chief Whip's Forum, which drafted a report that also deals with these issues in terms of how Parliament should function. And that report was a unanimous report, and I think the subcommittee should take that into consideration as well.
Thank you very much. That's also noted. Any other comments before I give the floor to Advocate Masuta? No, Advocate Masuta, you have the floor, sir.
Now, thank you, Chair. Just to indicate, also to contextualize an issue that Ms. Ambrosini had raised, there is a booklet which contains a composite set of decisions and precedents of presiding of officers since the commencement, I think, of this parliament. And that assists in ensuring that there's consistency in the rulings of presiding officers going forward. Unfortunately, that booklet, as far as I understand, has not been updated.
think that maybe one of the things that could happen along the site is to actually update that booklet. That's just an additional proposal that I would want to recommend, and that the table staff, I think, could easily, you know, do some work on that. And the reason I'm mentioning it is that, contrary to what Honorable Ambrosini is saying, some of the wisdom that derives from the practical application of the rules in the form of precedents can be very valuable resource when we actually review the rules, because in a sense they have been shaping and improving on the existing set of rules. And those improvements, ideally, I think we don't want to lose them, because maybe we actually like the way in which some of these rules have been enhanced through precedents. And if there are valuable lessons to learn for purposes of improving our rule book, I think it's actually a plus. And I think they can be as informative as other sources or source documents that we've referred to, which will, of course, inform. And that includes the work that Honorable Mulder raises in relation to the work of the Chief Whips Forum. Hence, I said that some of the input will be coming, say, from the Chief Whips Forum's work. So we will take anything that comes from anywhere which will help enhance and improve the quality of the end product. And as far as the resources are concerned, I just wanted to also indicate that because we are a subcommittee of the Rules Committee, we do not hold our own resources. We do not have our own budget. Our budget is as whenever the Rules Committee provides us resources. So all we do is just we just go to the mother or the father and ask for whatever we need. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Advocate Masuta. Having read through the document, let me see if I can just pull out a few things so that we know what we're agreeing to at the end of the meeting. Preparations for this comprehensive review process, as we indicated, will include some capacity building activities for staff, for members, for everybody. That includes a workshop that will provide background on the origins and application of the current rules of the National Assembly. Okay. And I think there's also a concrete proposal in the report that says parties be given till the end of August 2012 to submit broad proposals on suggested areas of review. Are we together so far? Also, that submissions from parties in this period should not consist of actual drafted amendments, but should essentially be broad proposals accompanied by motivation for suggested changes, inclusion or deletion from the existing rules. So it's fairly broad at this stage. Also during this period, a report be drafted under the guidance of a specialist consultant assisted by a dedicated team from the NA table, consolidating recommendations from completed reports currently before various fora of Parliament for inclusion in the review process. Fora still processing other reports, use the time to complete their work where possible. The review process in the subcommittee, what does it consist of? A, will deliberate and agree in principle on policy issues. We'll present such agreed proposals to the Rules Committee for approval. We'll then proceed to draft the necessary rules or rule amendments and will complete the review by June 2013. We all agree up so far? Okay. Then the services of a specialist consultant will, consulted with a thorough knowledge and understanding of the rules and practices of the National Assembly, as well as vast practical experience in their implementation and application, be appointed to coordinate the review process. It's a bit of a detail of what we said earlier. The specialist consultant be supported by a dedicated team from the NA table and staff. And should any further expertise from outside the institution
Constitution be required, the Subcommittee on Review of the Rules may approach the Speaker for permission to obtain such expertise. Are we happy with that, the summary of a summary? Okay.
Mr. Chairman,
well, then make it also available. Yes, sir.
Can you register my objection?
Objection to the summary of a summary.
No, of course not, Mr. Chairman. Your summary was impeccable to the entire notion of doing what we tell the parliament not to do, to hire consultants and to admitting to the public of South Africa that this parliament, in spite of its budget, cannot even redraft its own rules.
Okay, those have been noted.
I don't think we should note things that are not understandable. I don't understand what the gentleman is trying to say.
May I make it understandable, Mr. Chairman?
I really wouldn't want to open a debate on this. We'll just note the objections and we'll then move on.
Speaker, I don't really understand what he has said. If you can summarize it for us, but I don't really understand.
Mr. Ambrosini, I'm really reluctant to give anybody a floor because I really want us to proceed, and we will simply note that you did express a reservation on some parts of the document or whatever. Is that acceptable? Okay. Thank you very much. Again, Advocate Masuta and your team, thank you very much. For the work that you have done. Can we then move on to the next item on the agenda? Can we put the agenda up again, please?
Speaker?
Yes, sir.
If I may indicate, the subcommittee has two reports.
Oh, yes. All right. Please go ahead with the second report.
Yeah. Need to gather my focus again after the trails. The second matter relates to an issue that also has a history about first reading debates. Currently, both the tables and automatically referred to committees, and only then are dealt with only second reading debates actually take place. There was a decision back, I think, in 2007 to introduce the notion of first reading debates. And I think the only bill that is read for the first time is its money bill, if I'm not mistaken. So the idea really is to give this innovation a concrete expression in the rules, which then means that it should be possible to request a first reading debate on a bill that's been introduced. And what simply happens is that even before the bill is dealt with in the respective committee after it's been referred, it's opened for debate for the first time the moment it's introduced in the assembly. And the manner in which that occurs is that obviously the person introducing the bill would do the introduction, and consequent thereto, any member of the House can request an opportunity to express themselves on the principle of the debate. So the issue there is not so much to look at the clauses of the bill, but it's more to deal with issues of desirability of such a bill, the principle of the bill, whether we think that the bill is going to advance whatever policy directions or constitutional imperative, for example, your favorite subject, and so on. And that, in a sense, can assist in resolving some of the issues that you find bills, confronted with, some of which you yourself, Speaker, have expressed in your reservations about the quality of bills that were passing this day. So that might be a stage which could also preempt some of these challenges leave it to a committee to grapple with them. I think I'll just leave matters there, and if colleagues want to enhance my input, JJ or Marina, to please add any issues that they think I've left out. Thank you, Louis.
Thank you very much, Advocate, for that introduction. Does anybody want to add? No? Okay. I'd like to open it just for comments from everybody around the House, remembering that it's a product, corrective product. It comes from subcommittee already. Okay, are we happy with the report of the subcommittee and the recommendation contained
there? We, from the ANC, we are very, very happy.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chief Whip. Can we then agree with the proposals as contained in the report? Agreed? Two. Yes.
I don't mean to take you back, but just with regard to the recommendation of the workshop regarding the comprehensive review of the rules, I would just like to have that clarity on a time frame, because the workshop will obviously impact on party positions, and given that there's a 3-month time period within which for parties to do it, I'd like to just know how we're going to schedule the workshop.
Okay, there we are, the time frames of the workshop. Clearly, all of this has to go to the parties. They will decide when they want to discuss it as parties. But in terms of the workshop, what is the timing? What's the thinking? JJ?
The same item that we're leaving. I just wanted to know how the minutes will read. Would it be on the proposal of the speaker that the rule be approved, or would it be on the...
Yes, the speaker proposes that. You have it in front of you. Do you want to adopt it?
Can't it be on the proposal of the subcommittee?
The speaker has proposed. Any objection to what the speaker has proposed, Honourable JJ? No, agreed to.
On the issue of the time frame, we didn't locate the workshop specifically, but I think that what would be cogent under the circumstances would be, given the fact that parties have the next 3 months an opportunity to input, it would be useful to delay until we've received that input, amongst other source documents, so that the workshop can also be informed by some of the sentiments and views of different parties. So I would think that the workshop ideally should happen soon after that first stage.
Dr. Moore.
I think it should be the other way around. I think we should have a workshop as to what's the facts at the moment and get all the input that we need, and then parties will make informed submissions afterwards to see what we are talking about.
Okay, there is a proposal that we should do the other way around, so that the parties know what it is they want to adopt, and just changing it around, and I think it makes perfect sense, but I'll leave this.
That's my point, because it's a capacity building workshop, and specific topics are included on it. So it will definitely guide our thinking within the party.
Chief Whip of the Majority Party.
I think what Honorable Jeff would say may be in our interest in the long term. Because anybody who reads our minutes over a time saying the speaker proposed, it may create a wrong impression, because there's a subcommittee report that is presented to us in a meeting chaired by the speaker. So are the proposals not coming from the subcommittee approved by a meeting chaired by the speaker? Should we really say the speaker proposed?
Well, if it's a proposal, it has to be adopted. So we're putting the proposal to the House, and it's adopted by this meeting. It's not adopted by the speaker. It's not my report. It's a report.
I agree.
It's a report of the subcommittee, which is put to this meeting, and the meeting agrees.
No, Speaker, with respect, I think what you're saying is correct. All I'm saying is that it must be captured in a way that shows that these are proposals that are put and they're accepted, not that it is the Speaker who came to the meeting with a bag full of proposals which were accepted.
Actually, it might make life a lot easier, but that's not the case in this case, as you know well know. But we will find a way of managing it, and it's not a legal matter, it's just the way it's phrasing, but hey, we'll find a way of phrasing it nicely. Any other comments? There is a proposal about the workshop, that we should actually start with the workshop, and then parties can make an input after that. Are we happy with that?
No.
Over to you.
Thank you, Speaker, Chairperson. You know what's going to happen, and I saw this happen with the budget, you'll want to be capacitated to understand what is already there, then you'll add everything you want to add, then you'll need another workshop to understand what was added. I honestly think that parties have a very good idea of what the rules are and what they want to add, and then when this, you know, whole thing has been put together, then we need to be workshopped on what is we going to vote on, rather than having the other way around. I know it's called a capacity building one, but they seem very capacitated in the Rules Committee.
I actually didn't want to start a debate on this issue, but I'll recognize Mr. Watson first.
Ambrosini. Yes, sir. And Dr. Moser, we are dealing with the recommendation of the subcommittee. That's what we do, not with semantics. And it's very clear. It says preceding the start of the actual review. Preceding. Not afterwards. The following preparatory activities are proposed. A capacity building workshop, which then lists the source of parliament procedures, sources of the rules, nature of application of the rules, amendment of suspension of the rules, unwritten rules, practice and conventions, content and coverage of the current rule book. With all due respect, we don't know all these things. And we need to be capacitated on that before we can get actually working. So let's stick to the recommendation of the committee.
Thank you very much. Honorable Kieran, you have your hand up.
I just want to say, Chairperson, actually we've already adopted the report, and the report is very clear on what it means. And also at the commencement of the first sitting of the subcommittee, the Chairperson, as Christopher said, actually made a remark that it is a new subcommittee, because many of the previous members who served there before have actually left, taken up positions in deputy ministers, etc. So it's a new one, and therefore it was necessary to just bring everybody up to speed with what the previous processes were. And I think that would be a sound approach, and we should stick to what we've already adopted. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you very much. Dr. Moda, you are covered. Sam Rossini, not necessary for me to speak. Okay, can we then move with that understanding? Okay.
Coming on to the original question, when are we going to have this? What is the time frame for this workshop? We've gone around in a circle, but now I think we're back to the original question.
Chief Whip,
we want to agree with you that we should move with that understanding, and that the details of the when and how really don't belong to this forum.
Can you broadly agree? It's going to be very difficult here now to say what the date is, but this certainly it will be consulted. It's a subcommittee. It's not too difficult to get members of the subcommittee to agree on the date and the time and the venue. Okay, with that understanding, can then we step off this agenda item? Okay, can we move on to the next one, which is agenda item number 6, a report by Chief Whip's Forum, Annex E. Who wants to walk us through it? Chief Whip?
Speaker, with regard to A, on use of electronic devices in the chamber, we have recommendations which read as follows, that a detailed study be done on the use of electronic devices in other parliaments, that the Chief Whip Forum report to the National Assembly Rules Committee with proposed guidelines for the use of electronic devices in Parliament after it has considered a comparative study, and see that while the guidelines are being finalized, members will be allowed to use technological devices such as tablets, provided that they are not disruptive to proceedings, and with the understanding that non-such devices may be used to take and or send photographs during proceedings of the House or committees.
Okay, those are straightforward recommendations. Are we happy to go along with those? Where it says tablets, just also add iPads, basically the same thing. Are we happy? Sure. Speaker, just to emphasize the point, the Chief of Forum under A requested the assistance of the ICT focus group to assist them with the developing these proposed guidelines, given the fact that they are currently busy doing that work and that the Deputy Chief of the Majority Party has to serve as the person liaising with the ICT focus group on this matter. Because currently there's a number of issues in front of the Chief of Forum, and surely they won't have enough time and capacity also to conduct such research on their own. No, fine. We'll leave the details to the subcommittee to work out. In principle, we're saying it's work in progress, but we allow iPads and tablets to be used in the House, and so long as it's not obtrusive and takes attention away from the debate. Are we happy to go along with that? Okay. And Chief, next. Your mic is off, sir.
Thank you for your affirmative action. The next proposal is that the proposed guidelines be approved, but with the amendment that while the House will acknowledge the parting away of all, this is on condolences. Let me just start. On condolences, the recommendation is that the proposed guidelines be approved, but with the amendment that while the House will acknowledge the passing away of all former members, with a condolence motion, a debate on the motion will only take place on the recommendations of the forum to the National Assembly Programming Committee.
Are we happy to adopt that? Thank you very much. Next.
On the next, guidelines for notice of motions, the recommendations are the guidelines to be adopted.
And the guidelines be adopted, and the Speaker would like to recommend that the guidelines be adopted. Agreed to? Yes, thank you very much.
Honorable Speaker, on the guidelines for motions without notice, the recommendation is that the guidelines be adopted.
Okay, the recommendation is that the guidelines be adopted. Any objection to this sensible recommendation? Next.
Speaker, on the chapter, review of the Chapter 9 and associated institutions, the recommendations are that, one, that the report as a whole be considered and the content discussed at the workshop, and two, that a complete cost analysis of the implementation of the report be done.
Okay, I'm happy with that. Actually, I'm directing this question to those who are not members of the Chief Whip Forum. Chief Whip Forum can't disagree because it's your recommendation. Agreed? Agreed, John. Okay. And next, are we done? Okay. Thank you very much. Can we then move on because we have agreed with the proposal from the Chief Whip Forum. Okay. Can we move on to the next agenda item? And the next agenda item is closure. Can we agree to close the meeting at the recommendation of the Speaker? the next meeting, when is the next meeting?
can't discuss now the next meeting, but we'll make sure that it is circulated. There will be a recommendation from the table staff about the next meeting. Agreed? Thank you very much, and have a nice day.